Welcome to Overwhelming Joy. Are you glowing, growing, or don't know where you're going? Well, you've come to the right place. Together as daughters of the King of Kings, our highest privilege is to faithfully commune with God and humbly walk in obedience to His truth as He reveals Himself to us in His Word. I'm Paulette, and thank you for joining me today. Pull up your chair, Bible, and journal, and pour yourself a cup of joy. Welcome to Motivational Monday. I'm going to begin by reading something written by Stacy Thacker. On the night of His betrayal, Jesus prayed for many things. He did something that also breaks my heart wide open. He prayed for you. He prayed for me. He asked His Father to set us apart or sanctify us with His truth. He knew His Word would reform and revive our souls, and He wanted us to be immersed in it. He not only prayed for this to be true, He made a provision as well. We read in His truth-filled word, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me," John 14:6. His word was the truth tool, always pointing to Him. John 17:17, "Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth." God sent His Son, Jesus, to die on the cross for our sins, to make a way, a provision for us, to spend eternity with Him. And as believers, we have the privilege to read and study His Word, to see the blessings, and to prayerfully be called to join Him at work for His kingdom, so that all glory and honor and praise can be perceived for what He needs to have happened, and not what we seek to have happened. It's a perception shift. It's a perspective that we can trust with faith that He knows best. I have spoken about it the past few weeks, but I am presently completing a one-year YouVersion Bible plan. What I'm sharing with you today actually comes from day 251. And in the YouVersion Bible plan, this particular plan has us reading a passage out of the Old Testament, the New Testament, a psalm, and a proverb. And it's just a guide. I love it when I sit down to interact with God's truth. I always begin with a prayer. Heavenly Father, allow the Holy Spirit to reveal Your truth to me. It's in Your Son Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And then I just begin reading. Sometimes I center on a question that I have that I want to go further explore. Sometimes I center on a word that I look up, define, look at other cross-references for that word. Sometimes I am convicted of something by reading the truth of God, because the Word of God is living, active, breathing, and it's able to separate sin from godliness. So if we go to it with that clear lens that, like, show in me anything that is not becoming of a daughter of a king, then there will be things we are convicted of. Because our desire is to look more and more like Him than it is for us to look like ourselves. Sometimes I'm affirmed of something. I'm like, yes, okay, I see You, God. But today, as we interact in pursuit of the truth of God's Word, I want us to be open and available for what it is that the Spirit is revealing to us that is maybe a need that we have that helps change our perception or perspective on what it is to be a Christian in this world, 2025. So I'm going to begin by just talking a little bit about Isaiah, because we're just beginning chapter 1. The book Isaiah was written by Isaiah, the son of Amos. It's a vision. It has prophetic poetry and narrative. And what Isaiah reveals through symbols and reasoned thoughts is a God-centered way of seeing. That's the perspective part. And then living. But we've got to see it. We've got to know the truth before we can live the truth. It offers everyone a true alternative to the false lies of this world. It was written for the people of Judah. And the name Isaiah itself, the author's name, means Yahweh is salvation. So his name alone is pointing us to that glorious idea that we can only be saved by God through the sending of his son Jesus. And we can choose to believe Jesus, read and study his word, obey his word, and seek to live a God-centered life. That's the goal of each of us as Christians. So let's look at Isaiah chapter 1. Let's go first to verse 10. It's just setting an example for us, again, to be studying the word of God. It begins with, "Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Give ear to the teaching of our God, you people of Gomorrah." And if you don't know the story of Sodom and Gomorrah, let's go back one more verse, verse 9. "If the Lord of hosts had not left us a few survivors, we should have been like Sodom and become like Gomorrah." Sodom and Gomorrah were two cities destroyed by God for their vile wickedness. And their story parallels the Genesis flood narrative in the fact that man's sin was so great that he sent that flood to near destroy the world. And so this reference of this sin of adultery, sin of arrogance, sin of violence, injustice, reminds each of us in the idea of truth in the Bible. It was written for a then and them, but it's applicable for us now. How is that applicable? Because our world is still evil, vile. There is still so much sickness due to carnality that exists in our world. So how do we exist in our world if we can't read and study the Word of God? That's my personal belief for myself. I know no other way of existing in this world as a Christian if I don't anchor myself daily in setting my seeing and my doing. Remember what Isaiah's theme was? That he was going to offer us a better way to see and live. Well, the way to see it and live it is to read and study his word and obey it. If that is not setting my perception, the world is going to do a great job trying to have our perception pulled away to it. So what he's telling us is we have to hear the word of God and give ear to his teaching. That is what's going to help us. Let's go down chapter 1 to verse 16. "Wash yourselves and make yourselves clean. Remove the evil of your deeds from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Correct oppression. Bring justice to the fatherless. Plead the widow's cause." So again, it is telling us, repent, repent. It begins with each of us personally, prayerfully, the Christian community, the body of Christ, the church, and larger than that, our nation. Let's look at James chapter 4. James chapter 4. This was a cross-reference when I was studying Isaiah chapter 1. And the verses I just read about wash yourselves and make yourselves clean. James 4, 7, and 8. "Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be wretched and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you." So again, Like I mentioned before, when I go to the Word to read and study and receive its truth, one of the things that we should be available for is conviction. By being convicted by the Word of God, it is not to our detriment or harm. It's to show us how we as sinners daily still need to seek to align ourselves to what God loves, what God thinks, and what God's calling us to do. Let's continue looking into 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Let's move over to the New Testament, 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And you'll see a connection and a theme. Let's first start with a warning given by Paul. Chapter 10 of 2 Corinthians, let's start with verse 3 through 5. For though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God. Take every thought captive to obey Christ, being ready to punish every disobedience when your obedience is complete. So think about that. The weapons of our fight are not of the flesh, but of divine power. There are divine wars happening. We know God, we know Satan exists, and boy, does Satan fight a subtle attack. Let's look further into 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. 11, verse 3. But I am afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his cunning, your thoughts will be led astray from a sincere and pure devotion to Christ. When I looked up in my commentary by Matthew Henry, this is what he wrote. Satan's subtle attack is that he draws us away from the simplicity of our faith in Christ. He draws us away from the undivided devotion that will help and enable us to seek and accept God's divine authority. So what Satan's huge war and battle is really a very poignant, personal, individual, one-on-one, subtle attack with our discipline and devotion to following God. Wow. So, you know, we may be very aware of Satan and these grandiose schemes he has, and the evil in this world, and the horrible things that are taking place in our world against Christians and Christianity. But the subtle attack that is very damaging is that he personally wages war with each of us as Christians to just slowly by slowly by slowly get us to lose our first love, our discipline and desire to meet with God in his word daily. Because if he can shift that discipline and devotion, he is slowly going to allow us to be open to be lured by the world. And if you go back to Isaiah, that's exactly what Isaiah's theme was, that we have to see and live a God-fearing life, and that God will not listen to empty worship and empty prayers, because God looks at our motives. So we should give ear to the teaching of God. We should wash ourselves and make ourselves clean by basically laying our hearts, our loves, our motives, our actions up against the Word of God daily. Every morning we need a recalibration. We need a refocus. We need a rededication. We need a diligence of determination. Charles Stanley said this, "The Christian life is impossible. You can't live it, I can't live it. But Christianity is not the problem. The problem is that we've been trying to live life apart from the help of the Holy Spirit." And how I get centered on the Holy Spirit being my guide is each and every morning. My rhythm of the morning is the minute I wake up, I give you this day. I give you this day. Rid me of what is not becoming of the daughter of the King. Fill me with your Holy Spirit enough for today and send me out. So first thing I say and pray, then I get up and get ready. And then when that morning I have my time in God's word, I again pray, Heavenly Father, allow the Holy Spirit to reveal your truths to me. Let's look at Psalm 52. Psalm 52. And remember, these scriptures are not something I am putting together. They literally were available for me through a reading plan. That's why if you do not have a plan or a path of a way you are systematically reading either one book of the Bible or the Bible, it's really hard to stay disciplined. And we're talking about how purposeful it is to be dedicated and disciplined with your time with God. So get a plan. Don't make it harder for yourself. Get a plan. Stick to the plan. I also recommend you finding one or two other people to join you in the same reading plan so you have accountability. It's someone to check in with. Hey, did you do your reading today? It's okay to say no. Life happens. I didn't get to it today. I did my early morning prayer as I got ready, but I didn't get time to read my Bible. And that friend of accountability saying, okay, you can do it tomorrow. So it's never for judgment, it's never for despair, it's never for guilt, but it is for accountability. It is to have someone else that you are aware of that is helping you draw closer and near to the Word of God. And then it's wonderful to talk about it. If you listen on Wednesdays and Madison, my daughter, is sitting at the table with me, it is such a sheer joy and delight to conversate with another believer about what they too are reading and receiving from the truth of God's word. Okay, Psalm 52. Why do you boast of evil, O mighty man? The steadfast love of God endures all the day. Let's go ahead and go down to verse 8 and 9. I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the steadfast love of God forever and ever. I will thank you forever because you have done it. I will wait for your name, for it is good in the presence of the godly. That's commitment. That is, I know that I know that I know that you are good. I know that I know that I know you've showed up for me in the past. So I know that I know that I know that even in moments of doubt, even in moments of impatience, even in moments when I don't know for sure if you're going to come through for me, God, I will wait, I will trust, and I will thank you because your steadfast love is true and it endures forever. So sometimes getting in the Word of God just helps affirm, keep on keeping on. Keep searching for me. Keep waiting for me. Remind yourself of the simple truth that I am God and that I love you. And I have everything for my glory and honor. And it is planned. It is the call that I have, whether you understand it or not. And be content. Be content in that capacity. Let's flip back to 2 Corinthians, now that we've read Psalms, about just hang in there, be patient, trust me, which we all go through. We all, listen, we all go through periods or seasons of doubt to almost drought. That's our sinful, carnal nature. That's why we need the Word of God to reestablish in us, don't give up. And that's why I crave and love accountability from another believer that I kind of reference it in my brain as like a spiritual slap. They love me so much, but then they can also kind of go, get a grip, Paulette, if for some reason I'm kind of tumbling or spiraling. That's what the Word of God does for me. It's like, Paulette, get a grip. I am God. So let's look back at 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Let's look at verse 13 and 14. But we will not boast beyond limits, but will boast only with regard to the area of influence God assigned to us to reach even to you. For we are not overextending ourselves as though we did not reach you. For we were the first to come all the way to you with the gospel of Christ. We do not boast beyond limit in the labor of others, but our hope is that as your faith increases, our area of influence among you may be greatly enlarged, so that we may preach the gospel in lands beyond you without boasting of work already done in another's area of influence. Let the one who boasts boast only in the Lord, for it is not the one who commends himself who is approved, but the one whom the Lord commends. Okay, all that to say, Paul is defending his ministry. He is saying that we're not waging a war according to flesh. It's divine powers. We're to take every thought captive. We are to be obedient until it's complete. We're not to boast in ourselves or boast in what we're doing or boast in grand efforts, but we're supposed to literally realize that God has called each of us as believers to our own area of influence, period. He doesn't ask us to reach beyond that. He asks us to be content in his call and accept the gift of his capacity. And the only thing we need to boast in is him and him alone. So sometimes I personally believe Satan tries to have us compare with each other, feel defeated, feel guilty when we are sitting there looking at, okay, well, she's doing this and she's doing this and she's doing that and I'm not doing this. It can even be as simple as like what you're doing every day in the Word of God. God wants us to seek him personally in his Word. But people can start comparing, well, she's doing all this and I don't have the capacity for that. I'm listening to it as I ride to work. She's doing all this journaling and researching. Okay, I'm here to tell you, he is saying in this season, be content in the capacity that I have given you. But the question is, are you willingly and obediently meeting with him, period? Are you craving his word and his truth? Are you disciplined in being diligent to meet with him? It doesn't matter how that looks for you. It doesn't matter how long that looks for you. It doesn't matter what you're doing in that time of meeting with him compared to what someone else is doing. All that matters is you are receiving God's word of truth. You are using it to shed light on how you are seeing God first and how you are living for God. How you are seeing God and living for God. Remember, that's what Isaiah was trying to tell us. Hear the word, give ear to the teaching. Wash yourselves and make yourselves clean. Be willing, be obedient. And then Paul is reminding us, take every thought captive. Bind Satan from your mind. Bind him from trapping you up into the worldly pull, from the lies. And remember that God is steadfast. He endures through everything. Even when you don't think you see a way out, God's got this. His way out always starts with just your way into His Word. If you can't find a way out of a situation, get into His Word. Let's wrap it up with our Proverbs, chapter 22, verses 26 and 27. Proverbs 22, 26 and 27. Be not one of those who give pledges, who put up security for debts. If you have nothing with which to pay, why should your bed be taken from under you? Now you may think, what in the world does this have to do with anything we've just talked about? But think about it. If you are poor and you have nothing monetarily to pay with, what it is saying is someone should not come and basically take your bed away. But you should also not give a pledge to help someone in debt if you are in debt yourself. Now that is monetarily speaking. Let's take that same example and look at it with a spiritual slant as far as like discipleship, mentoring, helping someone else in the Word of God that we were talking about today, living within your capacity and your call. If you aren't presently in a place where you have made a determination and a dedication and a pledge to have a plan and a path to meet with God, then I feel, for the context of what we're talking about today, it is better that you first strive to meet with God and get yourself in a pattern and a rhythm of study before you go out and seek to help someone else. Your first goal should be to become disciplined over desiring anything from the world. Seek to become disciplined. Now, you may not be going out and seeking someone to help them, but it is perfectly okay for you to seek out someone to help you and just be vulnerable and honest with them. Could you walk alongside me and help me find a rhythm or a pattern to read the Word of God? That's perfectly wonderful. Now, let me speak to some of you that are listening that have a plan, have a path. You know that you know that you know the way you meet with God, however that looks like to you. You know when you do it. You know how often you do it. You know the process you do. It does not mean you are being lofty or haughty or prideful, but if you know what you're doing, if it's a rhythm then that works for you and it is helping you gain perspective and promise, then what I would offer you to do is pray that when it is the right time, God would bring someone alongside you that may need your help. And when that comes about, that you are able then to hand in hand disciple them, mentor them, be their accountability partner, I prayerfully hope you say yes. Even if you're like, oh, I don't know if I can do that. I've never helped mentor anyone in reading the Word of God. Here's the deal. Here's all I offer you. Let them see you walk with Jesus. Just let them see it. None of us are perfect. None of us know everything. None of us have it all together. We will miss a day or two. We will fail. But it's the idea that we're striving, that we're pursuing. That's what matters. And if you are a few steps ahead of someone else, then just reach out a hand and help them along their path. Each of us live our journey with God, I feel, to at some point be called to help someone else. Now let's go all the way back to my morning prayer. I give you this day, rid me of what is not becoming of a daughter of a king, fill me with your spirit enough for today, and send me. Send me. And you might be in a season to be sent to just let someone else see as you walk, pursue, and seek God, and seek to meet with Him in His Word. May we all continue in pursuit of more of God's presence in our lives. With God, we have the power to shift our perspective from what I am dwelling on to who I am dwelling in. I'm Paulette. Join me next time at my table for more overwhelming joy.